start by welcoming you to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's specific topic is how to work with existing co-sponsors. And to get us there, let me introduce our speaker tonight, Elizabeth Dell. After graduating with a BS in social science with an emphasis in environmental issues, Elizabeth worked for the Nature Conservancy and a local land use planning nonprofit, and then had her eureka moment when learning about Citizens Climate Lobby. As a regional coordinator, Elizabeth supports existing chapters and helps in adding new groups in the Great Lakes region. She enjoys troubleshooting challenges faced by volunteers and providing or directing them to tools and resources to help them in their work, which is why she's here tonight. And she treasures the friendships and connections she's made with the most motivated and committed group of people she's ever known. So I think we can all really identify with that eureka moment, and we're really grateful for you joining us tonight, Elizabeth. And with our goals tonight, so if we've done our job well, we're really hoping that each of you will have a chance to really walk away with these following three focuses. We want to make sure to highlight the importance of ongoing love and progress updates, as well as moving your member up that champion scale, even if they have already co-sponsored the Energy Innovation Act. We'll have a chance to specifically demonstrate what this looks like in your lobby meetings and really also gain the insight for all of you on the line with what's worked or what you've heard from other groups in being effective and helping you team up with your member to get more co-sponsors. And to do that, we'll have a pretty straightforward agenda. We're going to really first look at what it means when we say shower them with constant love, in the words of James Taylor. Then we'll have some champion scale applications. We'll talk about lobby meetings and what that looks like. We'll do a communication skills activity. We'll think a little bit even outside of beyond your representative, and then we'll pause for Q&A discussion. So with that, I'll make sure to pass the baton to you. We'll jump right in. Thanks so much again for joining us, everyone.
Thank you, Brett. Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here tonight. So as you know, CCL volunteers always approach their members of Congress with appreciation, respect, and gratitude. But when a member takes steps in the right direction for climate solutions, we like to kick it up a notch. And when they sign on as a co-sponsor for the Energy Innovation Act, we need to make sure we really love them up. So the basic message is never take your member of Congress's support for granted. Anytime someone steps out and leads, there's the chance that they will get criticized, not just praised. All legislation is a product of compromise, and it will have its critics. The Energy Innovation Act has critics from both the left and the right, and your member of Congress may be hearing from them. So again, don't take their support for granted. Find creative ways to keep them feeling good about being a co-sponsor, including these three listed on the slide: constituent appreciation, media appreciation, and support on social media. One great example of this approach in action comes from our group in Rochester, New York, with their representative, Joe Morelli. Here's a photo of their chapter's efforts to generate a huge card with hundreds of constituent signatures thanking the representative for his co-sponsorship. They presented this to him during a press conference, and the effort generated a lot of goodwill and uplift for his climate leadership. He was very appreciative. We can keep bill co-sponsors happy by showing them who endorses the bill and getting new endorsements, as well as encouraging other organizations to appreciate their sponsorship. Shortly after becoming a co-sponsor, Representative Hank Johnson was invited by his CCL liaison to record a short video greeting for the Southeast Regional Conference to build the connection between his office and our chapters. This approach in strengthening our CCL chapter's relationships with co-sponsors has also seen great success with Representative Barbara Lee, keynoting CCL's Northern California Regional Conference, and Senator Coons, who recently spoke as a keynote at the Mid-Atlantic Regional Conference. Another way to work with co-sponsors is to ask them to leverage their relationships with business leaders to get more business support for the bill. A really great example of this comes from California. Business Climate Leaders, a CCL action team, partnered with some members of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group to host a high-tech carbon pricing convening meeting. They worked with CCL's Silicon Valley chapters to invite Representative Anna Eshoo to attend the meeting or to join by video conference, but her schedule didn't permit that. So the representative created a video. She suggested this herself. She created a video making the case for their support and reminding these business leaders that their support would have a huge impact on Republican lawmakers. And that was one of the things that laid the groundwork for a supporting statement by the Silicon Valley Leadership Group last spring. Another example is the CCL Rochester Group. They teamed up with their local chamber CEO to host Congressman Joe Morelli for an environmental sustainability forum. It was attended by businesses and concerned organizations. The conversation focused on what's to come in Washington and ways the Rochester business community can be a strong steward of sustainability. There are many ways to highlight your ongoing support for your members' leadership and foster deeper relationships with them. The key is to not take your member of Congress's support for granted. So another role you can and should play is that of keeping them informed. This is regardless of whether they are co-sponsor or not. We're always trying to keep our members of Congress informed. Members of Congress and their staff have many things to pay attention to, and we're the ones with the laser focus on this. So another part of your job, especially if you're a liaison, is to keep them updated about the bill's progress. You should also keep them updated about your chapter's activities. One example comes with the CCL Virginia Fairfax chapter. He invited the staffer who's been their main contact and was recently promoted to chief of staff to be a guest speaker at their chapter meeting. And much to their surprise and delight, he accepted and joined the meeting. Another way to think about this is, as constituents, we want to train ourselves to use good news to anchor our letters, calls, or media work to support members who have taken the big step of co-sponsoring the bill. The Energy Innovation Act Progress page on Community is an excellent resource for highlighting ongoing updates on this front, and Brett will put the link to this in the chat. Another aspect to keeping your sponsors strong in their support is to continue to build a positive relationship with them. You want to continue to be people that they like to work with and that are helpful to them. It's being a good partner. People respond to and do things for the people they know and like. Simple. Keep in mind that at some point, this bill will start moving through the legislative process, and that is when you will get the payoff for being an attentive and helpful partner. When votes start to come or amendments start to be pushed, that's when your hard work pays off because you will have their ear as things unfold. Here are some ways to keep building the relationship. Create opportunities for your member of Congress to be visible on climate action in the district and in the media according to their wishes. It's really important that if you do pursue this, it's done through the direction of your member's office rather than on your own. And if they express interest in pursuing national media coverage, make sure to work with CCL's communications team, including Flannery Winchester. Some of our most vocal co-sponsors have sought out media interviews on public radio, like Representative Phillips, or national television, like Representative Deutsch, our major sponsor. They also will talk about the bill and speeches in House committee hearings or on the floor of the House. And in each of these instances, our CCL chapters have backed them up and helped amplify their coverage with positive uplift afterwards on social media. You can also find other ways to support your members' climate environmental priorities as appropriate. And you can provide useful information and talking points like polling data, responses to bill criticism, local climate impacts. This could even be on your members' website. For example, Representative Eshoo's office updated her website to add a specific statement about her support for the bill after a constituent asked her to update her climate change issue page.
Yeah, and I'll jump in here and make a little connection to what we're talking about tonight with another concept that especially veteran CCL members probably are familiar with or they've heard in the past, the champion scale. And so this concept really comes from our advisory board member and results founder, Sam Daly Harris. He has been on a lot of other trainings and helped us think through this scenario where a lot of us might be in a situation in our own relationships where we feel, you know, my member of Congress is so good, or my member of Congress is so far off being able to work with either way that there's no need to really meet with them. And based on his interviews with many different CCL group leaders and other organizations leaders working with Congress, he does trainings in creating champions in Congress. And what he does is really help highlight something called the champion scale, which is really a concept to think about moving your member incrementally forward, stepwise, up this ladder of advocacy. And so if you think about this, again, it allows you to really, wherever you're at, apply this to your own relationship with your member's office to think, assess, and determine when you drop back and take an approach to really how you can move that relationship forward. So you can think of this in terms of what your member might say if they were any step of this scale in terms of support or lack of support for the Energy Innovation Act. You know, an opposed member, I think we could agree that the farthest you might be from being a champion on this issue would be something like saying, I don't support that, or my constituents wouldn't support that, or even what you're talking about isn't a problem. And so, you know, clearly from the very beginning, not seeing those people as immediate championship eligible, but how can we then move them to neutral, that next level up from opposed, where someone that's neutral might say, you know, I need more information, or can you explain it to me more fully, or this area of concern is clearly very important to me, and before I move forward and make an informed decision, I need more materials. So obviously for this training, we're already talking about members that are on that third level, the supporter level. But again, what we're trying to do is encourage people to think through wherever your member is, how you can take them to that next level. So a supporter might say, you know, I'll co-sponsor that. I think it's a good solution. I can get behind it. And going beyond partnership for even something stronger, you're all at that supporter level at least. What does that look like? Well, an advocate goes beyond lending their name to the bill to building support in Congress or the district for it. And that's really what tonight's training is for. It's thinking about, now that I'm a co-sponsor, and I think that it's important to build support for this, what am I going to do, whether it's talking with other people in Congress or drafting an op-ed for a paper or, you know, bringing along others to share reasons why you support this legislation, to move them into that advocate role from being just an outright supporter. And then even from advocate, the champion scale has two additional levels. So a leader steps up their advocacy, being the lead sponsor or a spokesperson for the bill. In your case, your sponsor could start working closely with the bill's lead sponsors, like Elizabeth's mentioned, Representative Deutsch on the Democratic side and Rooney on the Republican side, to plan with them. And then even beyond that, really that key level, a champion goes even further, if you can imagine. A champion is so passionate about this legislation that it's their signature effort or the legacy they really envision wanting to leave behind for their colleagues after them. So they can come up with ideas, ask us to help. They might even actively say in our next meeting with them, I've arranged for 5 of my Democratic colleagues and 5 of my Republican colleagues to host a town hall meeting on the Energy Innovation Act. And I need your help finding speakers for some of them in these 10 cities. Now, I think the other key thing to highlight here is that Sam feels strongly that we shouldn't call sponsors champions, but reserve this term for people who are truly determined to pass this legislation. And it's fully all right, wherever your member might be, for them to be in that role. And for us to really think about this scale as a way to really amp up our outreach and our relationship building to help them move up that ladder. So with that, to kind of contextualize what we're talking about, I'll pass it back to you, Elizabeth, to discuss how we can really use this in our lobby meetings.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. It's good to be reviewing this now because it is in district lobby season for CCL. So if you have a member who's co-sponsoring the bill, what might your meeting look like? Well, of course, you'll continue to thank them and show district support like we highlighted in the earlier section, like you always do at all your meetings, and you'll bring all that information about the support with you to the meeting. You'll also want to provide a quick bill progress update. And then you want to ask them about their goals. How active do they want to be in promoting the Energy Innovation Act? What are their priorities on climate and the environment generally? What do they see likely to move through Congress this session and the next? This can be really valuable information for us. Ask how you can help in the district with those goals. Who would be the best people for your group to talk with or to join your team in the next meeting with your member? Then you want to ask them to help us. We're going to help them. How can they help us? Hopefully they can do one of these things to help move them up that scale. Co-sponsoring one of the bipartisan bills in our supporting ask document would be really valuable. Also, talking to their colleagues to encourage them to become co-sponsors. You could plant the seed in the meeting to start having them think about who they'd be willing to have conversations with on the Republican side of the aisle. Perhaps people they work with in committees. You could ask, does that seem something that is possible for you to do, Congresswoman? Asking this can help distinguish their openness to building more bipartisan support for the bill through their relationships in Congress. They can also help by advising us on how best to reach other members of their state delegation. And by educating the public or getting, another thing they can do is help educate the public themselves or get endorsements. They have a platform to speak from that can be really valuable. Maybe they would attend a forum like the Chamber of Commerce example that I gave earlier, or make introductions to other community leaders for you to meet with, or even write or co-write an op-ed with our executive director. A great recent story about this, related to this, is with has to do with Representative Kilmer from Washington State. He invited his CCL liaison, Mike Kelly, to be his guest at the State of the Union. All right, so we've given some, you know, useful information. Now it's time to put it together for a demonstration of what it could look like in a meeting. So we're going to do a role play. I'll play a constituent of a co-sponsoring member of Congress, and Brett will play the member because he's so good at playing members of Congress. The setting is our in-district meeting happening this month, and we're going to be modeling some ways to move the conversation forward while using communication skills like reflection, open-ended questions, and asking permission. So, you ready, Brett?
You got it.
All right. Thanks so much, Congressman, for making time to meet today. We can't say enough about how much you're championing the Energy Innovation Act is making a difference in Congress. Just this past week, two new co-sponsors joined to bring the total to 77 in the House, and there's now over 1,300 statements of support and endorsements from prominent community leaders, including five here in our own district.
Wow, that's great to hear. And I'll say, you know, maybe I can earn that champion scale designation by the end of this meeting here. So we'll find out. But I will say it's great to see all of you today again, Elizabeth. And it's obviously my honor and a firm conviction I have that H.R. 763 is actually a win-win policy. I know it's going to help us get on the right track in managing our emissions while providing good economics back here for Americans at the same time.
Yeah, well, we couldn't agree more in your view that any policy solution needs to be good for our economy as well as the environment. I think that's specifically why today we wanted to make time to get your input on what goals you have for the Energy Innovation Act, as well as regarding climate policy in general. Does that sound like a good focus for our time together today?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the chance to share more about what we've been up to.
Great. Well, I guess we'd like to start with your input on what your current goals or next steps your office has regarding the Energy Innovation Act.
I think the key area or the next step to continue to focus on is making it a viable bipartisan option in addressing climate change.
That's great to hear. So what ways do you see us being able to help move this step forward?
Certainly using CCL's network of other chapters in the country, especially in Republican districts, to get more co-sponsors for one.
Yeah, I know I can speak for our hundreds of groups in that there is great momentum to do just that. So in your mind, given our district's focus, do you have any recommendations on other community leaders we should be talking with or bring with us to the next meeting?
Well, beyond this great group, let me think here. I think it would be particularly helpful to get more input from both our faith leaders as well as the local Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, great. So what I'm hearing is that both faith and business-based perspectives are valuable to consult with.
Absolutely. Part of what I found most effective actually in my conversations with colleagues across the aisle is being able to uplift the voice of religious and business leaders that support climate action and specific policies like the Energy Innovation Act. Given the trust conservatives have in them, these kinds of statements go a long way. They're really helpful.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks so much for highlighting that really important intersection. I do know that CCLers have gained the support of almost 100 different faith groups, including supportive statements from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Presbyterian Church. And I'll be sure that Molly here shares those with your office after our meeting.
That would be great. Thank you.
Our pleasure. And your suggestion is also helpful for our own local Grasstops team to know how to focus our endorsement efforts. Given what you've shared, we'd love to hear if you'd be willing to keep having conversations with Republicans you work with on your committees about your support for the Energy Innovation Act and seeking their input. Where do those kinds of conversations feel like they have the most potential?
Well, honestly, the easiest place where these kinds of things come up is in our committee meetings. I've had several colleagues actually ask for my insights on reasonable climate policy, especially between markups, and you know, I'm more than happy to keep seeking these conversations out, yes.
Well, that is very encouraging to hear. Thank you so much for your championing this on both sides of the aisle.
We need all hands on deck. I feel like it's my part of just trying to move this forward.
Well, we couldn't agree more. And speaking of how to move forward, on climate and the environment in general, what are your priorities and what do you see likely to move through Congress this session and the next?
That is a big question. Off the top of the cuff, I know that there's some bills moving forward that are helping address sequestering carbon with farming practices. There's some carbon capture, researching energy storage. I'm also supporting allocating funds to help impacted coastal communities. They all feel like they have legs right now, at least in the House. And I've been working hard to build out support and awareness actually for these shorter term solution areas.
That's great. We really appreciate that. And we agree on how critical these areas are as well. And want to take a moment to thank you for your support for the Best Use It and Restoring Resilient Reefs Acts as well. We know they're bipartisan bills. CCL has them as supporting asks. And in our research, we noted that you've been bold in putting your name behind each of them on top of your support for the Energy Innovation Act. So thank you very much for doing that.
Well, color me impressed that you all are even tracking my every move on climate. I'm glad to know that these kinds of efforts actually do have traction and support back home for my constituents.
They definitely do. And we're here because we truly want to find ways to continue to be a partner for your office and your important climate work. So I hear you saying that it's important to track support from the district in these kinds of policies. And I'm curious how you think we could help educate the larger public about it. What kinds of collaborations do you think would be most impactful?
I'm honestly not sure. Could you actually just tell me a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Sure. Do you think that maybe a joint effort to write an op-ed or host a forum bringing businesses and other community leaders together would be constructive and provide meaningful education to key stakeholders we want to move forward?
I do. Yeah, I definitely do. I just have been too busy to really think about it. I'd welcome the opportunity to speak at a forum or sign off on an op-ed, especially if it would mean my office didn't actually have to do the legwork and getting the ball rolling.
Sure. That's definitely an area we can help in. Do you have any preference for a forum or an op-ed?
I'm interested in both. I think regarding a public forum or an event, it's going to have to be scheduled several months out now, given we're back in the swing of things here in D.C. But Thursday evenings or Saturday afternoons are typically my designated time for a public event on the calendar. And please note that I am interested.
Duly noted, I assure you. And we also know the time you've allotted our meeting is coming to a close here. So circling back to where we go from here, We've said we'll get you that list of prominent faith and business supporters, and that our team will follow up with your office with a few of these suggestions to do some joint collaborations via an op-ed and inviting you to a local forum when we get more details worked out.
Excellent. Well, I'm committed to keep seeking out those conversations regarding carbon pricing with my colleagues. I have to say it's truly energizing to work with a group like yourselves who are so focused and exude a collaborative spirit. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we couldn't do it without you. As concerned mothers, community leaders, and volunteers, we want to figure this out for the next generation, and we appreciate the chance to be a resource on this topic. Thanks for being willing to grab a photo with us on our way out, I'm hoping.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll pause there, and we'll transition and use this as a way to really break down what Elizabeth did throughout that meeting as the CCL leader to help use these communication skills and deepen that relationship with the office. So here's a quick overview of some of those key communication skills, and we really want to invite you on the line to also use this framework to start practicing your own communication skills for your meetings. So on this slide, there's five basics that Elizabeth modeled in that meeting demonstration that I feel really help build your relationship and help make the people you're talking to love talking with you. So let's really explore how each of these were used in that meeting. So using open questions and being interested in their response. Elizabeth used this throughout that meeting in asking open-ended questions like, what ways do you see us being able to move forward? Or where do these kinds of conversations feel like they have the most potential? Or what are your priorities and what do you see likely to move through Congress? She also did a great job of reflecting back what she was hearing with phrases like, what I'm hearing is that both faith and business-based perspectives are valuable, or speaking of how to move forward and then connecting it with that next open-ended question. Elizabeth did a great job as well of identifying and appreciating the underlying values the member shared with them and emphasized agreement throughout her responses, as well as highlighting where those suggestions were helpful in moving their own local chapter's work forward. She also made sure to ask permission to share information right from the very beginning in confirming, does that sound like a good focus for our meeting together? And then also even later, asking permission by saying, I'm curious if you'd be willing to share how you think we could help educate the larger public. And then lastly, it's key to summarize verbally your understanding and action steps that everyone's really agreeing forward to and moving on from in the end. So her key phrase was circling back to where we go from here, but however you want to embed these skills in your own meeting preparation, we really encourage you to highlight and leverage each of them as a way to deepen that connection and relationship during your meetings. I'll pass it back to you, Elizabeth, to set up our final section tonight.
Just one thought. I like to think a lot about what Danny Richter says about kind of this work being like an ecosystem, and we all have different niches. And in a way, you know, the different bills that are out there kind of are similar to that. I mean, where one thing isn't getting traction, maybe something else will, and it's all just contributing to the bigger conversation. So just being appreciative of what they're doing in every way is helpful. So let's just talk for a few minutes about working, you know, beyond our representatives, because we do have senators out there, and we don't want to forget that eventually a Senate bill will be introduced, so we want to keep laying the groundwork to be ready for that. So we can work statewide on our senators by facilitating and growing a monthly calling Congress campaign. I don't know how many folks on this call are doing that. I'm not sure how many are up and running at this point, how many districts are covered, but it's definitely growing, and it's I'm excited about the prospects there. It's really engaging new people as well. Also, leading statewide teams or projects, such as passing local resolutions and coordinated outreach, that can be really helpful and valuable in just raising awareness about the issue and demonstrating support to our senators as well as our representatives. And strengthening your state chapters by being a buddy to a smaller group or helping start new chapters in places where we really could use more support, maybe a district that's not covered or a district that's really important and maybe only has one chapter. We hear often from our members of Congress about the importance of having constituent volunteers around the country engaging with each member of Congress. So it's really important work. And finally, you can help at the national level with doing things like generating more endorsements or contributing to a national action team and the work that they're doing on outreach, skills, recruitment, and retention.
All right. So we hope that you found tonight's training useful and empowering. And obviously, if you have any thoughts, please feel free to share them after tonight in the forums, especially if they can benefit all of us as group leaders, liaisons, and volunteers that are motivated on this issue and building co-sponsorship champions. And obviously, we look forward to seeing you out there in the field, everyone. Thanks again for joining us tonight.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.